Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live, second edition, 7 a.m. edition this morning, March 25th, Tuesday, sponsored by First Bank this morning. So in the news, we have a lot to follow up for you as we look at what's going on here. Philadelphia police still investigating, and so we're waiting to hear more about these two brothers killed riding in the back seat with unbuckled seat belts. I-95 happened last Friday. Hearing from their church, their parents not commenting. But these are the Davis brothers. Two of them, the oldest two brothers, ages 23 and 22, Aaron and Joshua Davis of South Jersey, they were riding along in that 2006 Mazda vehicle with their 18-year-old twin brothers in the front seat, not sure which twin was actually driving. Differing reports as to what exactly happened here. Were they racing last Friday night? Were they racing with a Dodge Challenger, or did they just lose control and crash? That's one of the questions by police. And then what about if there was a race? Where is that Dodge Challenger? Did they drive off? Did they know there was a crash? So this happened last Friday evening, I-95 North approaching Castor Ave. That's when the vehicle carrying four of the five Davis brothers crashed. This was a real tragedy here. Loses control, strikes the guardrail, and then falls some 30 feet below, crashing on Castor Ave, below that I-95 overpass. If you see the chopper shots of this from Friday night, that car was demolished. It looked like pieces of Legos just all over. It was horrifying. The two brothers killed. They were ejected from the vehicle along with a puppy who was in the vehicle, and they were killed. The puppy's body also strewn and was later found by authorities. The 18-year-olds, one of them remains hospitalized, and they're Ben and Nathaniel. One of them was released from the hospital late last night, but is expected back for, needs multiple surgeries.
And you said the vehicle plummeted 30 feet?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's
horrible
gonna do
story.
It. Yeah, it is.
So their church home, their pastor, I said earlier, speaking out. This is Bishop Donald Hiller Jr. of Cathedral International Church. This is a huge historic Baptist church in South Jersey with a ton of members. So many people speaking out about this, about the Davis brothers. Everybody knew them, and the pastor speaking out saying, I christened all of the Davis brothers. I've known them all their lives, christened them, baptized them. They're gathering for prayers. They're grieving today. And, you know, the police are investigating this one. Just such a sad story in our region. We've been talking about this man who posed as the nurse in the suburbs, Montgomery County urgent care facilities. He sexually assaulted more than a dozen women. So he was sentenced 5 to 10 years in state prison. Some calls this morning as to why it's only that with game time. Would he be out in 5 years? That's one of the questions. 34-year-old Ramon Garcia is the name. And now there are lawsuits by those victims who say that they're suing him. But more importantly, they're going after these urgent care centers, saying that the urgent care centers did not protect these nurses in their place of work. We also have a story that's making national news from Pennsylvania. And this is really a reveal by Allentown police using modern technology, cracking a case that, yes, made headlines, saying that it was an allegation of racism in the workplace. And so police are now charging LaTarsha Brown, accusing LaTarsha of falsely claiming somebody put a noose on her desk at work. They believe now, based on the DNA evidence and a lot of detective work, they spent 90 days investigating this in a very serious way by the book, and they believe that she put that noose on her own desk. Started back in January.
We've got two clips if you want to play these now. Do you want to go to these now, Dawn? It's
I
up
do.
To you. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's play. This is K2, Phil. This is the initial report from CBS 3, KYW, right here in Philadelphia. And this was back in January of 2025, so just about 2.5 months ago. Let's roll K2.
When black lives are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up!
a call for action and fight for change.
We will not be silenced.
Community members and leaders made their voices heard in front of Allentown City Hall Monday afternoon.
Just to think that people have to go to work in fear for their lives.
Since Friday, Allentown police continue to investigate an item resembling a noose found on a city employee's desk.
This egregious act is not just an affront to one individual, but it is an attack on the entire community.
Several spoke during a rally, calling for transparency, prevention, and an immediate federal investigation among a list of demands. This incident, community members note, is not the first racial discrimination issue City Hall has dealt with. Josie Lopez is a close friend of the victim.
They're always a community leader, always pushing for equality. They might be bruised right now, but they are not broken.
The victim is not being named due to safety concerns.
Our colleague was threatened. This was an act of terror. This was a hate crime.
Oh, it was an act of terror. Oh, it was a hate crime. Well, fast forward 2 months later, Dawn, let's hear the chief of police in Allentown. I believe this was yesterday. Clip K1, Phil. What did the police find out? Let's take a listen.
Charles Roca.
Good afternoon, everybody. Captain Milkovitz, Criminal Investigations Division. On January 10, 2025, at approximately 7:11 a.m., Allentown City employee Latarsha Brown arrived at her office on the third floor of City Hall. At approximately 7:38 a.m., Ms. Brown notified the Allentown Police Department that she discovered what she believed to be a noose on her desk upon arriving at work. Officers assigned to the Community Outreach Unit, Crime Scene Identification Unit, and Criminal Investigations Unit responded, initiating a criminal investigation to identify the individual responsible for placing the noose on Ms. Brown's desk. During the investigation, video surveillance and building access control records were reviewed to identify city employees present on the third floor of City Hall between the time Ms. Brown left for work on the afternoon of January 9, 2025, and her arrival on the morning of January 10th. Those employees were interviewed. Each was asked if they would provide a buckle swab for DNA testing if needed. Every employee agreed, except for Ms. Brown.
Huh.
Initially cooperative, Ms. Brown later requested that the investigation be discontinued.
Huh.
The noose was submitted to the Pennsylvania State Police Crime Lab for DNA testing on January 14, 2025. On January 24, 2025, a search warrant was approved by the Lehigh County District Attorney's Office for Ms. Brown's DNA, and a DNA sample was obtained that same day. On January 27, 2025, Ms. Brown's buccal swab was submitted to the Bethlehem Regional Crime Lab of the Pennsylvania State Police for comparison with DNA profiles recovered from the noose.
Yep.
On March 10, 2025, the Forensic DNA Division of the Pennsylvania State Police issued a written report indicating that Ms. Brown's DNA matched the DNA profile obtained from the swabs of both the outer surface an inner knotted portion of the noose after it was taken apart.
The hell you say? The only DNA on the noose, Dawn. Welcome to UC Smollett, Bubba Wallace world. Latarsha Brown. Fake, faux, outrage, victimhood culture, looking for a payday. Nope.
We should start our own protests.
Yep. I'm the victim of racism.
The one thing I will say about, because... So everybody knows her because she's also on the school board, the Allentown school board.
Your tax dollars.
So she's somebody who is an official. And so I'm not going to say that if we had a coworker and we heard like, oh, you know, so-and-so is in your office or whatever. And they, oh, what? That's terrible. That's awful. They weren't even releasing the name publicly. So I don't, you know, I'm not going to criticize as far as protesters. It's shocking. To say that for somebody to go to this effort, and then I think what's telltale, first of all, is that they went through the physical evidence as far as the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
They reviewed all that. They did all the due diligence since January the 10th. Then you can tell they started to realize, ruh-roh, none of the cameras. So now they go to the DNA swab. And now that she knows about the DNA, I think it was when the captain said, well, at first she was very cooperative, and then she actually called for the investigation to be ceased.
Yeah, because she was about to get snuffed out and dimed out for lying.
That's very telltale, and I'm sure for them, But these officers, I think, were so professional, and I think that's the real story here. They I hope that the something that the chief said that touched me was, he said, you know, there's no racial animosity among us here in City Hall. We have good people. You know, that to me is what's yeah. so sad here is
which
that
is why
there was
she
an effort
be, yeah.
to make it so that they were divided in their building.
Yeah, she should be fired and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. The Morning Call has the charges that she is facing. I believe it's a
misdemeanor charges.
Yeah, a third degree and a second degree misdemeanor. I don't know if that comes with jail time or not, but you should be out of a job. Once again, I always say with racism, the demand from the media and the Democrats and the left does not match the supply that actually exists in this country.
That's true.
And I'm so sick of it.
If there's a noose involved in the story, we saw a noose was left on it's fake. It's a fake story. It's just a fake story. First of all, nobody knows how to tie a noose these days. It's not 1854. And second of all, like, it's just like it has the makings every time. Justice Wallace was the same thing. There was a noose
Bubba
involved.
Bubba Wallace.
Yeah, the
in
same
NASCAR.
Thing. Yes.
Yeah. By the way, did Bubba Wallace win that NASCAR race on Sunday, by the way? Any NASCAR fans out there, tweet me. I think he was in the lead with like 30 laps to go or something. So
as far as her preliminary hearing, it is now scheduled for April 22nd with that story. So we also have us, you know, as we think about what's going on, this is a huge story that South Korean conglomerate Hyundai announcing that roughly $21 billion investment in U.S. onshoring, a new steel plant in Louisiana, part of this investment set to hire more than 1,400 employees and will produce next generation steel, will be used by Hyundai's two U.S. auto plants to manufacture electric vehicles. And so President Trump announcing that one yesterday, very excited, obviously, as using that as an example of the fact that his tariff tactics appear to, you know, really he's vindicated with this huge Hyundai investment, among others.
Well, my sources have told me that Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana is on his way right now to get a Hyundai.
Yeah.
The only thing he likes better than Hyundais are?
I like omelets.
Or omelets. Sure.
We do have reaction from House Speaker Mike Johnson weighing in on what we were talking earlier about. The Atlantic's Jeffrey Goldberg, who was on MSNBC this morning, is all over the, you know, airwaves, if you will, revealing that top national security officials, as well as cabinet secretaries, high levels, even the vice president, J.D. Vance, had inadvertently included this so-called journalist in a group chat about the U.S. plans to launch airstrikes against the Houthis in Yemen.
We have Mike Johnson. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
25.
Love me some Mega Mike.
He kind of weaseled out of it.
But he does confirm.
You would expect. 25, go.
What you did see, though, I think, was top-level officials doing their job, doing it well, and executing on a plan with precision. That mission was a success. No one was jeopardized because of it. We're grateful for that, but they will certainly, I'm sure, make sure that doesn't happen.
But there was another part of that clip.
Uh-oh.
Where he said...
Fake news.
I believe that he said... he said, the quote I have is, apparently an inadvertent phone number made it onto the thread. They're going to track that down and make sure it doesn't happen again. So that's a top official. I thought that was attributed to Mike Johnson. But they have acknowledged multiple times at this point, I'm going to say this morning, that the National Security Council is looking into this. The White House multiple times by this point has confirmed that this was real. They believe that this Goldberg is telling the truth, that he was added, and they're not suspecting at this point that he somehow hacked into it or that somebody hacked and then added him to it. It appears to be an inadvertent mistake by somebody in that chat that added him. But then the other broader question, and that's Hakeem Jeffries, I think, last night or this morning, Democrats are saying, well, wait a minute. You know, even if Hegseth and the Veep didn't know about it, why were they communicating something that was top secret on, yes, and encrypted, but not a top security way of communicating.
I'm also glad you mentioned the Veep, J.D. Vance, because lost in this story is differing views on what they should do with the Houthis, where Hegseth was like, yeah, let's retaliate and obliterate them. I'm paraphrasing here. And J.D. Vance was more meticulous and reserved, thinking that maybe this is not the right approach. I actually agree with Hegseth that this is the right approach. And I'm not pro-war, but when the Houthis are the aggressors, you have to establish your presence.
So going back to what Dawn and I were talking about in the first hour, is that, you know, should somebody be fired over this, Hegseth, Mike Walls? So Hegseth, from what I understand, is guilty of having these communications over an unsecure device, right? I mean, that's a pretty egregious thing, no?
It's the look, there's no question this is something that they must investigate, and they are investigating it. Is it something that he'll get fired over? I will submit to you that it's okay, we saw the confirmation, now we have this.
Mm-hmm.
Three strikes and you're out. I'm not calling for that. I'm simply saying, if I'm the president of the United States or if I'm in this administration,
yeah.
This is not acceptable. Well, can't happen again, because look at what we're talking about. We should be talking about other things.
Like the Hyundai dealership.
Right. And all the other American investments that are being made.
Honestly, like
almost $3 trillion.
That steel plant story is huge.
Yeah,
that's a huge story. And it's being completely overshadowed. If I'm the president, I'm like, you mother.
Well, and also, don't you think now, and I get it, there's people that are traveling and all of these different people in different departments, Hegseth and, you know, Waltz, you know, we're throwing a Sean Parnell, whoever at the Pentagon. They're not always together side by side, you know, at the same conference room table. But don't you think something like this deserves everybody present together as opposed to doing it on basically a glorified text messaging app? I mean, I know technology has allowed us to communicate in a plethora of ways, but something as important as, you know, a military strike on the Houthis, I don't know. I'm not sure I'd be doing that on AOL Instant Messenger. I'm just saying. You know, it seems like we should be getting together for in the hub and let's talk face to face about this. Just an observation as an outsider.
So I will tell you that within Signal, you can use a third party app to transcribe your speech into it. So I'm looking at this. I'm just wondering, because Pete Hegseth was very quick to say, no, of course we weren't texting each other. So were they speaking into it, then it transcribes for you?
It could be.
And so if they were doing that, that's even a further violation technically, because it's another third-party app that you're using. So people saying, are these encrypted? Yes, it's encrypted. Who owns it? Is it owned by China? It's not. It's still, you still don't have that top security. So look, I think at the end of the day, this story goes away. We're getting down to the weeds because we care about this stuff. But believe me, I think that in the scorecard of things, Trump, no doubt, because Trump doesn't like sloppy.
Nope.
And this is sloppy.
Yep. Speaking of encrypted devices, it's amazing that this could be made public, yet we still haven't been able to open up the encrypted phone of Thomas Matthew Crooks.
Well, they probably
10 months later.
Believe me, I think they have opened
it. Oh, I know they have. Oh,
I
believe it.
They burned it along with his body.
Yep.
Jern Blanston on the YouTube chat says, Walls should not be fired. Hegseth should not be fired. Stalker should be fired.
I agree. Hey, that's the best take of the day.
No, that's not nice. That's not nice. Yeah. No, nobody's going to get fired over this.
No.
They should.
They're not going to get fired over this.
They should.
But when they do get fired, we're going to know that this had a piece of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If they're perfect moving forward, then they won't.
So I never want to hear the butter emails thing again, right? Like that whole narrative can be done with
the who?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
The butter emails, you know, with Hillary Clinton, we can all
done
with that.
We don't know, because the investigation never proceeded and everything was bleached.
Mm. Okay.
So we don't have that information. That's the point.
Bleached.
I used to bleach my hair back in the day. Frosted tips.
Right, what did you bleach, Greg?
Stalker's a natural blonde.
I used to like bleach my hair.
Yeah.
More blonde.
Yeah.
It was like white.
I love it.
Back in the late 90s. Right. Oh, boy, we're way over.
Yeah,
we're
late. My God, we're still in news. I completely forgot.
Well, it's fine. We did the Allentown story, so we're good.
So we got to talk about, and there's another headline as far as Luigi Mangione. He wants a laptop in jail as he awaits his trial.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he wants a laptop.
Well, I want a food drop for breakfast. We don't get what we want in this lifetime.
Give me a break. This guy making jail demands.
Can somebody put cyanide in? I want this guy gone. Of course, innocent until proven guilty. I know. I need to be responsible with the airwaves. Don't want to get fired.
No, none of us do. We are at 46 degrees.
You might want me fired, darn.
Stop. I don't want you fired.
Yeah, you do.
Stop.
Try
do.
Harder not
Listen,
to suck.
Do. Greg Stocker gives...
You do, a little bit.
Greg gives good cut sheet. Let's all agree.
Careful where you're going with that one. Greg gives good.
I give good radio.
Gives good cut sheet.
Look at the results of this radio station. That's all you need to know.
61 degrees today. Enjoy the sunshine. Sponsored by First Bank. Ready to drive your business's success with a trusted local partner. Count on First Bank. Personalized support, smart solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com. Learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thank you, First Bank, for sponsoring our news.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. The cut sheet in just about 20 minutes where Greg gives good cut sheet. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But before that, one last story. Former Packers quarterback Brett Favre, as well as a congressman, have a plan to make America's kids healthy again. It's like the Maha Disney Junior Channel. We'll give you that on the other side as we continue. But first, Natural Lawn of America. Because when you're choosing a lawn care service, it makes sense to hire a company that provides better results and is also safer for your family and your pets. It's like Maha for your grass. That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. But don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners that are switching to Natural Lawn's safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program today and get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I hold my party as a registered Republican. I hold them to a higher standard. So I'm going to be more of a pain in the ass when they screw up because it's a reflection on me. That's what I'm ticked about more than anything. I sit there and I'm framing it. Well, Trump should be pissed, which he should. I'm pissed. Hey, you think I want to get texts from my mother-in-law? It's about me. This is really about our soldiers, but I digress. This Maha story for kids is phenomenal. I wanted to get into this because I actually mentioned this on the show, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 weeks ago. And we were talking about physical fitness. I think it was when we were talking about, you know, the fitness standards for the military and lowering the bar in this, you know, now that we're, you know, post-DEI world. Well, everybody's allowed to be a part of the club. No, you're not. I'm not lowering standards for your feelings. And I said, whatever happened to the old physical fitness tests that we had in elementary school, right? You know, you do the shuttle run in the gym. You do the V sit and reach. You do the chin-ups on the bar. You know, as the gym teacher counts for you. You run the mile outside. Well, Brett Favre, former quarterback and Social Security scumbag in Mississippi, along with Congressman Abe Hamada, he's a 8th District Congressional Representative Republican from Arizona. They have a plan to make America's kids healthy again, so we're going to have less...
soft, chubby, fat-looking children.
And they actually
I love that clip.
That's why I played it. They have a couple of quotes here from JFK Jr. Quote, "We do not want in the United States a nation of spectators. We want a nation of participants in the vigorous life." JFK also said famously, "Physical fitness is not only one of the most important keys to a healthy body, it is the basis of dynamic and creative intellectual activity. So the Hall of Fame quarterback and U.S. congressman have come from different arenas, but uniting under a common concern. And they have some data here, and this is going to, I don't know if this will surprise you or not. Maybe it won't, because we talk about these types of issues on this show. They write together in the letter that they penned for OutKick, we have a military readiness crisis. Did you know that a staggering 77% of young Americans are ineligible for military service without a waiver, largely to the obesity and other health issues that are plaguing young kids in America? Think about that. Three out of every four of our young people between the ages of 17 to 24 could not qualify to defend this country if they chose to. Even our top generals have sounded the alarm, calling the youth fitness crisis a matter of national security. Under the MAHA movement, they propose a nationwide initiative that is open to all kids. It's voluntary. Ages 6 to 17, whether you're in public, private, or homeschool settings, the presidential physical fitness test, which was apparently scaled back 12 years ago in schools in 2013.
Did they still have to climb that rope like we did?
I don't see. That's funny you say that. I don't recall doing the rope.
You didn't?
You didn't?
I remember the metal bar on the wall where you had to do the chin-ups.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But we I don't recall the rope.
You don't remember the rope? Wow.
I don't think it was in my school. I don't think we had a rope.
We definitely did.
And if, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody from Allentown took it and used it as a noose for a hate crime.
I knew that one.
We didn't have one. So.
Did you do the rope, Stensland?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And my kids did it in their school.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Maybe the school you went to, Kale, they were trying to have soft, chubby, fat kids.
Well, we had a lot of those.
Soft, chubby, fat-looking children.
Yes, we do. And they usually grow up to be soft, chubby, fat-looking adults in their life because they never really get the gist. So it was interesting. I remember we would do the mile. We would do the shuttle run in the gym with the cones.
Yep.
I dreaded the V sit and reach because I am not a flexible person at all.
Me neither.
I am a very boxy, stagnant, stodgy, unflimsy dude. Yep. I'm the opposite of Tim Walz in many regards. But I don't recall the rope. And honest to God, I can never do the chin ups. I would never be able. I could not do one every single year.
You can't do one chin up.
Even to this day, when I go into my gym and like where the tricep machine is, and you can pull yourself up and try to do chin ups, I can't do them.
Really?
I can bench press almost 300 pounds. I can't do a chin up. I swear to God, I don't know what that says about me. You can make fun of me in the YouTube chat. But the program that they're putting together here, it's called the Congressional Fitness Challenge. So they do a 1 mile run or walk, which tests your speed, your endurance, and your determination. They do the pull-ups slash flexed arm hang to test upper body strength and perseverance, curl-ups or sit-ups, core strength and discipline, the shuttle run, and the sit and reach. And they're going to give out awards, and they're also going to give out scholarships for this. If you rank in the top 85th percentile, you're a gold medal. If you are in the top 75th percentile, it's a silver, and top 50 and beyond, a bronze. I really think that every parent would probably be on board with something like this. I think we should go back to the way it was prior to 2013. And I think we really, if you talk about that obesity number, 77%, if the smartphone and the apps and the YouTubes and Snapchats and Instagram, if that isn't the biggest culprit today, like if you're sitting here trying to alleviate this problem, I really think technology is the big reason why so many of our kids today are technically overweight. And I know that the body measure, the body mass index thing is a little ridiculous. You know, like they tell me I should be, for my height, 168 pounds. You don't want to see me at 168. I mean, I would look awful. I mean, I look awful already. But I mean, I would look sick. I would really look. It's really dated. Like I look better at 185.
I'm curious. So they stopped. So do they still do these tests or do they not?
No, well, they altered it in 2013. It was replaced with the Presidential Youth Fitness Program, which focuses more on promoting healthy lifestyles and less on competitive testing.
Ugh.
So it's the softening of America is what it is.
You're 100% right. Look, at that age, I hated doing that stuff.
So did I.
Absolutely did. But looking back on it now, I 100% think that should be back in schools. And yes, it should be a competition. Life's a competition.
Yeah. That's why I feel like we have this ridiculous mindset of DEI where everybody's just handed something because of a box that they check or some sort of, you know, impairment where you shouldn't really be labeled impaired. But, well, this person's a victim, so why don't we include them because we don't have one of those in the group? No, life's a competition. And this goes to a story I think that we have on the show sheet for later today, which means we probably won't get to it. But the USA Today has a story on millennials and the concept of gentle parenting.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not saying that you don't need to be gentle with your kid based on that kid's specific set of circumstances, or obviously you're going to be a little gentler when the kid is 6 versus 16, but we have to stop, I think, raising our children and coddling them. And I know I'm going to sound like the old man when we talk about this, but you know, I have to parent my kids differently. My daughter, Olivia, has more of a competitive tomboy spirit in her. My other daughter, Mia, is very gentle, and she doesn't like when people even raise their voice. So I have to, you know, parent them differently. But my God, you know, we need to prepare our children for when they turn 18, it's no longer, you know, just come home to mommy and dad. Well, I mean, I guess Dawn's going to keep her kids at home until they're 30. But, you know, let's toughen up our kids a little bit here. You know, a little tough love, because I really do think we're handicapping them for the real world when they enter that society.
Yeah, and part of this is gym period and lunch period in public schools really has been cut back. And a lot of young lunch programs in public schools, they only have 20 minutes for lunch.
I know.
And maybe they'll do 20 minutes for lunch or 10, 15 minutes for some kind of recess. So to do a reset on a youth fitness program and teach things like nutrition and motivation and fitness as a holistic part of the school day, I think that's fantastic.
I agree. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. The cut sheet is on the other side because, as Dawn has famously said, Greg gives good cut sheet.
Yes.
And we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
How I got in this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, you hear a squeal or grinding noise. Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever-important and critical condition, or in critical edition, excuse me, of What's on the Cut Sheet on this Tuesday. By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. Get on over there. You can see all the videos that correspond with the audio that we play. youtube.com/at1210WPHD. Make sure you hit the like button and the subscribe button. I'm seeing people watching, and I'm seeing the likes, and there's a discrepancy.
We hate discrepancies.
I hate discrepancies, so make sure you're doing that. Okay, yesterday afternoon, we had another cabinet meeting. I like these things, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Have everybody together.
Yeah.
Let's say, okay, what if I do this here?
Yeah.
Once a week.
Yeah.
All the department heads get together and we say, okay, what have you done for us this week?
Okay.
How have you made your radio station better?
Have you done your 5 tasks, and have you submitted them via email on Friday?
And they're fun. It's a good time to get together with everybody here. Hear what everybody's up to, hear what the state of the company is in.
Yeah.
And I think that doing this live on TV, I think is genius.
Do we know what time typically these are done at for this administration?
I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason. Like,
give out a schedule ahead of time.
They do? Okay.
Nice. Nice when you have a president that's not in bed by 4 p.m.
3 o'clock. cut 3 here. Let's start off with President Trump. Cut 3 here, if you will. Philip, roll it.
Mr. President, yes, I'm asking you about economic forecasts. I saw one economic forecast coming out from the OECD this past week. They are forecasting stagflation for the United States, a downtick in terms of GDP growth. Do you agree with that forecast? What do you see over the course of 2025?
Well, we inherited a very, very bad and perilous situation from a group of people. Again, we just got here. From a group, and this takes a long time to develop, from a group of people that truly didn't know what they were doing. And you see that with not only costs, you see that with all of these fake contracts that have been given out. So we inherited a bad situation, but I think we're going to have an economy that booms. I think when it all kicks in, it's not going to take very long because some of these people that announced that they're going to spend billions of dollars. I mean, literally, Apple is spending $500 billion. They've never made anything close to that to do that. They're building plants here instead of China, instead of other places. When it all happens, and it's going to happen very soon, these are people that are already, in many cases, they're already starting. They just announced, in some cases, they announced, but they actually started before the announcement, as you know, because some are already building. This is going to kick in. I think it's going to be amazing. So they're looking at, based on numbers that I was looking at 6 months ago, 7 months ago, I was very concerned about the economy. We're going to have something that's like nobody's ever seen before. We have numbers and we have job generation that I don't think we've ever seen before. See how it works out, but I think the economy is going to go through the roof.
I'm looking forward to seeing where we are, as I've said, in about the 6 to 9 month range of the first year. So as we get towards Memorial Day to 4th of July to Labor Day and back to school, the first month economic report we gave you a couple of weeks ago was pleasantly surprising. That doesn't mean it's going to continue to go in that direction. Remember, Trump has said there could be some short-term pain for long-term gain. And again, I stay consistent on, can you handle that for 3, 4, 6 months until it gets to where you really love it?
Also, I will say this too. We as the American taxpayer deserve to see what our tax dollars are doing and what people are doing.
1,000%.
And the fact that we've just become complacent as a society for years and years and years of just everything operating in the shadows and just don't worry about it. We know what we're doing. To have this transparency with at least, you know, getting together and basically saying, hey, this is what we did this week.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing in this department. Yeah. This is what we're doing with that department. I think it's great.
I want a doge at every level of government. I really do. State levels, municipality level. I mean, I tweeted yesterday about how ridiculous the construction is on DeKalb Pike and Skipack Pike at that little box intersection and that 2 or 3 mile stretch in multiple directions in Montgomery County Bluebell. And one of our tweeters, I actually want to give this guy credit because, the Xers. I'll never get used to calling it X. It will always be Twitter to me. What's his name here? I want to read this because this was really good. It was from, the point being, my mentions are just ridiculous. One guy had said this project started in 2018 in Montgomery County. 7 years later, they have not finished it. Yeah. All it is a expansion of the lanes in a widening project from 2 lanes to 5. Mm-hmm. And if you know that area, it's only going up from the Township Line Road border where Plymouth Meeting and Whitpain Township kind of merge, up DeKalb Pike towards Morris Road, towards Normandy Farms. It's like a 2 mile stretch. It's taken them 7 years. And I know we had a pandemic in between, but you talk about tax dollars.
Yep.
I want to know what tax dollars have been taken from people that live in that area at either the county level or the state level. And why it's taking 7 years. We're not talking about expanding the Northeast Extension by 30 miles. We're talking a little township, 2 miles, 2 lanes, 7 years. I need Elon in Montgomery County immediately. I'm going to create my own doge.
I do have to wonder in that whole area if part of it is the explosion of growth in that area, and did they have to adjust it? Because that area that you, I mean, we all remember that was like that was a country road. I have family mm-hmm. who lives out on Morris Road,
yeah,
right near Normandy,
yep,
farm and all of that.
Yep.
And that whole area was parts of it, even going up to the Aldi we go to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all under construction, but it was, you drive by it and you go, darn it, why didn't I buy some land over here?
Well, and then also,
every time I drive, I'm like, go!
You know where the now defunct Reed Country Store is, correct?
Yes.
So apparently that's being knocked down, and they're putting a car wash in there, which I'm fine with, but there's a car wash 400 yards down on the road of DeKalb Pike on the right-hand side as you're heading towards Norristown. And they have had that side of DeKalb Pike closed since I moved back up here in August of 2022. We're coming up on 3 years, and I haven't seen any progress, much less it being reopened on that side. What are they doing?
Look, you can't complain. How many decades did the Blue Route take to get finished?
And it's still under construction.
Right, but as a taxpayer, you got to be like, wait a minute. I'm paying these, and I get it. It's my choice. I decided to live there. But I want to know where my taxpayer dollars are going and why this is taking 7 years. I'm willing to pay for it, but for the love of God, can we get some progress here?
All right, let's do roll call around the cabinet meeting. Let's go to cut one. Pam Bondi, Attorney General, what you got for us, darling?
Pam is doing such a fantastic job. I thought maybe you could say a few words.
Yeah.
Thank you, President.
Come on, let's go.
As far as we are hearing a lot about fraud, waste, and abuse, a lot of waste and abuse, but there is a tremendous amount of fraud. And Elon, thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your team. You have uncovered so much fraud in our government, and we will prosecute you. We have an internal task force now, working with every agency sitting here at this table. And if you've committed fraud, we're coming after you. Thank you, Elon, for that. On the violent crime level, thanks to President Trump's directive, we are seeking the death penalty again. So all of these horrible, violent criminals that you're hearing about around the country, they will face the death penalty federally within our country. And the drug dealers need to get out of here because we are coming after you. We're going to have 94 great U.S. attorneys around this country, and everyone will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Thank you.
Thank you, President. Your directive.
I couldn't have said that better. That's...
So I mentioned in the big take, I said, and look, now
thank you, President. Is that your directive?
I have never seen her in a courtroom, so she could be a fierce litigator and a great prosecutor, which I assume she is, but none of us have ever seen her in that realm in action. She speaks a good game, but right now she has been probably, if I had to say, the biggest disappointment in the administration.
Oh, please.
Who's worse? Of the people that we all talked about.
Because of the Epstein thing?
Look.
Don't worry, she was on Fox News again last night, in case you were wondering.
Oh, was she?
Of course.
She was.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at Tom Holman, and I'm like, that's the shining star right now. And I work my way down. Pam Bondi would be at the bottom. Now, again, she has to work with other agencies. So maybe she's kind of, you know, held up, and it's on the FBI, it's on this agency, it's on that agency to get the stuff to her to prosecute it. It's not like she's doing all the investigative work herself.
But she oversees a huge office.
I know.
And the Epstein files, quite frankly, we want to know because we would love to report it. But the truth is, he's dead. It's water under the dam, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, all of that. I mean, I'm serious. Her job right now at DOJ is she has huge active investigations going on. And this, so the Epstein thing is like a media release.
Which I agree with you on that. And I said that weeks ago. I said, look, I would love to see it selfishly, but there's far more important issues like prosecuting, you know, the fentanyl dealers and, you know, the illegal cartel members and things like that. So I totally get you on that front. Death penalty, I'm all for.
I think
she should hire Stalker to be on the firing squad.
Absolutely. Where's all the prosecutions, though, for all this fraud?
Well, and that's what Farish was tweeting about yesterday. And he was saying that, look, so you're telling us that the previous DOJ, Merrick Garland and his office, they were able to track down every J6er with far less evidence. And yet here we are 2 months in and she's prosecuted and identified how many people? Three? I don't know. The math doesn't balance out to me. But then again, I'm not in that office.
My God, there's that office has so many different investigations, mm-hmm. and they oversee in part. I mean, when you talk about the border, she's directly involved with that, the Holman stuff.
There was child sex trafficking going on in the Epstein case. Like, that's a big deal. We need to know we need to know these things. Like, mm-hmm. it's not, you know, like,
look,
it's sex trafficking.
Kids. I agree with you, but I believe they already know those, and those children are now your age. So I don't think that Epstein is abusing anybody right now, hasn't for a very long time. I think the DOJ, for example, they're involved in still looking for the alleged missing 300 to 500 missing children who were human trafficked or somehow trafficked, brought into this country. 300 to 500,000 kids missing. That's part of what Pam Bondi is investigating. And that's going on right now.
Well, I hope she gets able to prosecute these people. I give Cash Patel some credit. Cash Patel, in less time, has basically whacked three of the top 10 of America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, and who do you think is in court with all of these judges, the Democrats, and all of these activated judges who are very active in fighting every step of the way as this administration tries to rid this country of accused, dangerous rapists, killers, gang members?
You think
DOJ we have to expend all these resources in court. These are active battles as we speak.
Pam Bondi talked about the death penalty. As far as that 9-month-old that was given a check for $100,000 that Elon Musk uncovered. Remember, Pam said that she's going to prosecute all of the fraud, waste, and abuse. Do you think she gives that 9-month-old the electric high chair?
All right, let's keep going. Roll call. Cut to.
Who else we got?
Christy Noem.
Christy.
What you got for us, darling?
So we are in several other countries around the world with a message right now that's saying, if you are thinking about coming to America illegally and coming here, don't do it. You are not welcome. We have a legal process to becoming a United States citizen, and there are consequences if you come here illegally, and America has changed because we're putting Americans first.
Look, if I were ranking people's performance so far, as I talked about in the last clip, I would actually put Christy Noem ahead of Pam Bondi. I think Christy Noem and Tom Homan together as a duo have been rock stars. And I don't know who gets more of the credit, who's more on the ground. But those two together, you put Tom Homan and Christy Noem together. I mean, that's the one issue. I think Harry Enten released some approval rating data for all of the different figures in this administration yesterday. And I think Trump, according to this poll, is back-to-back months underwater, although it's his highest approval rating of his time over 10 years. But the only thing that Americans are, and this is, I think, again, this is either a CNN or an Ipsos poll, the only one that's getting positive reviews is immigration. And that's Tom Homan and Christy Noem. They get an A, if I'm grading them, A+.
And Pam Bondi, last evening, United States announces plans to extradite three Trinidadian members who've been declared alien enemies wanted by Chile for homicide and kidnapping offenses. The Justice Department,
will the DOJ investigate what Pete Hegseth and Mike Walls did?
They are absolutely part of that. It's national security, so it's a certain division. But yes, Greg, they have to investigate it.
Okay.
They have to investigate it. So there was just a Pennsylvania man yesterday. I was going to save it for the big three, but a Pennsylvania man pleaded guilty just yesterday to transporting a minor across state lines, intent to sexually abuse the child, accessing child sex abuse material. That's under the guise of DOJ, roofing business owner and payroll administrator sentenced for employment tax conspiracy. So that's just, I haven't even gotten through yesterday as far as Pam Bondi. I mean, it goes on and on the list, the daily list of what DOJ, it's under her umbrella. And by the way, when you talk about Jake Sullivan, okay, I'm just going to say this with freaking, since you're comparing Jake Sullivan to Pete Hegseth and others and Michael Waltz, Jake, days before October 7th, when 1,400 kid Jews, American citizens, Israelis were targeted, he made statements to the effect that nothing to see here, we're safe, and these people are safe, mm-hmm. and told those Americans, you're fine to go over there. Nobody died. Nobody died except maybe Houthis, but no Americans died. No innocent civilians died. Jake Sullivan was ripped for his policies and his statements about Afghanistan, mm-hmm. about October 7th. There's a long list, and he acknowledged that in post-mortem type interviews. I don't think it's a fair comparison between Jake Sullivan and Pete Hegseth or Mike Waltz, who just came on the job. And nobody died. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Boom.
Secretary, let's keep going with roll call because I don't even know what that meant. Secretary of...
Nobody died?
I'm kidding.
Just shut up and continue to give good cut sheet, will you? I'm just teasing you guys.
Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins. Nick played this earlier. What you got, darling? Cut four.
Well, let me just add to that, and thank you. We just had a wonderful cabinet meeting, all aligned on certainly the effort to realign the government. But even at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, we've canceled a $300,000 contract educating on food justice for queer and transgender farmers in San Francisco. A similar contract we canceled in New York, again, educating transgender and queer farmers on food justice and food equality. I'm not even sure what that means, but apparently the last administration wanted to put our taxpayer dollars towards that. We canceled a $600,000 contract in out of Louisiana that was studying the menstrual cycles of transgender men, a $600,000 contract. We canceled another contract out of a university in the middle of the country that focused on getting more diversity, equity, and inclusion into our pest management industry. Again, these are nonsensical. It makes zero sense to use taxpayer dollars to fund these. I know these are just a few examples of the hundreds and hundreds that we have found.
Transgender and queer farmers, food diversity, DEI to kill bugs, and studying men's menstrual cycles. And you have people out there that are mad at Elon Musk for unearthing this. Your tax dollars, whether you're left or right, whether you make $1 million a year or $16 an hour, you have some people that are so angry at Elon Musk that they want to plant incendiary devices, a.k.a. bombs, at his Austin, Texas showroom dealership and possibly kill human beings because he is exposing the government for stealing your money on nonsensical programs. That's your solution.
By the way, Carl on the YouTube chat says Peter Ducey just stated that Trump will not be firing anyone. So there you go.
I didn't think he would. I'm just saying I would have. But I'm a different cat.
Okay. RFK Jr. What about you, sir? What you got?
Darling.
I can't even do Bobby's voice.
We're very grateful for the partnership with Doge, with Elon. We've identified extraordinary waste in my department and HHS. The expenditures, the budget of HHS during the Biden administration went up by 38%. The employees went up by 17%, and healthcare went down. We have 40 comms departments. We have 40 procurement departments. We have 40 IT departments, and we have 40 procurement, HR, none of them talking to each other. We are, with Elon's help, eliminating the redundancies. We are streamlining our department. We're going to go back to providing gold standard science. We're going to get the money to the scientists and to the patients rather than to the administrators and to the bureaucrats. And we're going to restore gold standard science, and we're going to make America healthy again.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, Bobby should just hand out a packet as opposed to speaking. That would be a much easier process to tolerate. I'm going to take out red dye number 5, and I humped a moose this past week. That was what I accomplished, Mr. President. What was that story about him? He threw a dead boar out into Central Park. Well, remember that story with Bobby Kennedy?
Yeah.
How soon we forget.
What a bizarre cat. But you know what? I like him on the agriculture of food and farmer front.
It was a bear, right?
It was a bear.
A baby bear.
That he hit. He didn't want to dispose of it, so he put it in Central Park.
I'm just going back to the Tommy Boy when they hit the deer and Spade and Farley have the dead deer carcass in the back of the vehicle. I picture Bobby doing that with a bear.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, you know, he's doing a good job. As far as I'm concerned, Bobby Kennedy is an impact player, and I'm glad that he's on this side. I don't know what he's talking about.
But you don't think Pam is?
Oh, I like Pam.
Oh, okay.
I told you all along, she would have been a much more talented prosecutor and without the baggage of Gates. Although, through 2.5 months, I'm wondering if Gates would have accomplished more at this point, which I think that's a fair question to ask. Matt Gaetz has a big following within MAGA. Is there any buyer's remorse amongst the diehard MAGA that wanted Matt Gaetz, that was many people believed put out there intentionally to be the sacrificial lamb?
No.
Is it worth revisiting?
Creepy Gates.
Hey, creepy or not, would he be further along progress-wise than Bondi? Inquiring minds might want to know.
Here's my notes to self. Now, every day, I'm going to give you headlines.
No, you're not.
under Attorney General Pam Bondi.
No, you're not.
All of the actions that she's doing, because apparently
the Bondi watch. I like that.
No, you're not.
Bondi watch. Because apparently you guys don't think that she's busy doing.
I just think she talks a real good game, and she's written some checks with her mouth that her ass hasn't cashed yet. That's all.
The only thing that she talked about was the Epstein thing, and that's, you know, that has no bearing right now. There are no vulnerable victims in that one. It's a media release. Should she have said breaking news to Jesse Waters? Okay, not. But every day I read through, I mean, I'm telling you, it's like War and Peace of these administration officials like Pam Bondi. These people are working basically 7 days a week.
Well, she had a lot of time to go on Hannity last night and talk about Jasmine Crockett.
What, for a 10 or 15 minute hit? 10 minutes? Is she in studio, or is she standing out live in front of the White House?
She's, I don't know.
Or her office.
Dawn is defending Pam Bondi.
I am defending Pam Bondi.
Look at this.
I'm going to push back.
That's good. I want pushback. It makes for better radio.
Because, actually, let's play what Jasmine Crockett said.
Yeah, this doozy. I'm telling you what.
This is 14, I think. 14, Phil. Yeah,
I think you punch. I think you're okay with you okay with punching. You know, I think, and I love Colin, and I think towards the end he started to punch a little harder. But, like, it's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard, right? Like, there is no niceties with him. Like, at all. Like, you go clean off on him, right?
Oh. So she's back to, I don't know, she
how did she say?
She breaks the code speak rule from, I mean, she's got all sorts of different dialects that she likes to alternate. She's going through a vocabulary crisis.
You're 100%
right. Which is fascinating as somebody that still struggles with vocabulary from time to time.
Remember, she went to elite all-girls Catholic school.
At least I have an excuse. College. I went to a mediocre public school.
Yeah.
I am the result of the public school system.
To be honest with you, Nick Hale, this is the honest to God's truth, because I know where you grew up. You're more street than she is.
Probably right.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Probably
there's no
right.
No doubt in my mind that you grew up on the mean streets more than Jasmine Crockett did. Thank you. I didn't need diversity,
equity, inclusion to get to the top.
All right. So Pam Bondi went on Hannity last night to discuss what.
Oh, and by the way, let's not gloss over what she said there, because a lot of people were reacting to her comments as a call for violence. As Ted Cruz needs to be whacked over. Can we? It was a very brief clip. Phil, can we re-rack that one more time?
Poor Phil.
Poor Phil. Yeah. He's scrolling around like a madman.
I think that you punch.
Punch.
I think you punch.
Punch.
I think you're okay with, you okay with punching. You know, I think, and I love Colin, and I think towards the end he started to punch a little harder. But, like, it's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard, right? Like, there is no niceties with him. Like, at all. Like, you go clean off on him, right?
Boy, I tell you, the tolerant, inclusive, mostly peaceful left is just a very triggered bunch these days. They're not blowing up Teslas. They're demanding that Ted Cruz be whacked up over the side of the head. I don't know. That might be a threat to democracy right there. Is that a public hit?
She's awful.
I know. She's missed the boat, and this isn't 2020. She's late to the party. Like, that whole outrage thing, post-George Floyd, I'm just going to be obnoxious. We did that experiment. It failed. That's why Biden and Harris lost. That's why Trump is back in office. You know, you got to find out. It's like a stock. Jasmine Crockett is late on Netflix. You don't buy Netflix now at $927 a share. The time to buy it was when it was $200 a share. Okay, you don't buy it now, you dope.
Yeah, by the way, your atrocious grammar, I do attribute to where you grew up.
It is.
Because you're more street than Jasmine Crockett is.
But it's, you know what it is? It's live radio where my grammar goes to crap as I get fired up.
Where did you go? Easton High School?
Yeah, mid-level high school. Great athletics, but mediocre education.
The Badlands of Easton.
Not a bad school. Not a bad
the
school.
The ghetto.
Couple of blocks from the ghetto.
It is. I mean, there are parts of Easton that are better. I'm serious. Yeah, there are.
Yeah. You can go from million-dollar homes in the townships of Easton to the public housing of Easton in about six blocks.
And you lived in the public housing of Easton.
Close. Not public housing, but close. A tick above.
AJ Bondi, AG Bondi, excuse me.
I like AJ Bondi, actually. Is that the receiver? Oh, that's AJ Brown.
They're talking about Jasmine Crockett. Roll it.
Okay, so if you talk about taking somebody out or taking them down or knocking somebody over the head and knocking them over the head hard, are those threats of violence?
Yeah, Sean, it is. And you know, after she said that about Elon, she said, well, I didn't mean violence. But, however, your words have consequences. And what happened after she said that about Elon Musk, she's a Texan in her own home state. After she said that, this morning, three explosive devices were found in Austin, Texas. So she needs to unequivocally denounce the violence. She must apologize immediately, not only to all Texans, but to our country, to the American shareholders of Tesla, because she is promoting violence. And then you showed the clip of what she said about Senator Cruz. I believe she probably will be censured by Congress for saying that. You know, people don't.
Oh, man, if she gets censured, she's going to cause a ruckus. And that means Al Green is going to cause a ruckus.
Uh-oh.
Because he's also from Texas. Look, I mean, the fact that we have not. Now, if somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, I do not believe a Democrat has come out and publicly denounced the violence against Tesla vehicles. If somebody has, send me that quote, send me a link or whatever. I don't believe a single Democrat has done that yet. And that's embarrassing. I mean, we forget, you know, somebody wiping their butt crack and then smearing their, you know, stuff all over a windshield. Forget, you know, spray painting a Tesla dealership with a swastika.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about here is that we're going up the ladder, the escalation of obnoxious and breaking the law. But now we're at the point where torching a Tesla is not enough. We have to put, this is according to the Daily Mail, multiple incendiary devices found inside a Tesla showroom in Austin, Texas. Austin Police Department officers were called to the electric vehicle showroom yesterday, just after 8 a.m., after an anonymous caller reported that there were bombs placed inside the building. Authorities rushed to the scene and located multiple suspicious devices at the dealership.
And Crockett, a congresswoman from Texas.
Yeah.
By the way, last week, Pam Bondi announced arrests of defendants accused in all of these Tesla arsonists and violence. A defendant from Salem, Oregon. She had defendants that she charged in Charleston, South Carolina, and in Loveland, Colorado.
Yep, those were the three.
So
that was just last week's.
So since you're talking about Tesla, let's discuss... this is cut 15. These are lunatics outside a Tesla showroom in New York City. First of all, get over to YouTube.
Look at this little frumpy turd.
Yeah. You have to see this video. They all look the same.
They're all the same person.
They all look the same, every single one of them.
It's not a stereotype. It's accurate.
So she's standing outside. For those of you who can't get over to YouTube, I understand. You're busy. I understand. She's standing outside with a flag with a guillotine on it.
Yeah.
It's time to move to make some cuts with the guillotine.
So you want to chop off some heads, okay?
I don't understand what that means, but like...
Like poor cop in the background, like, should I arrest this Oompa Loompa or what? She's in the hopper, folks. You can't see her yet, we can.
Can you imagine her in the hopper?
And she's, oh no, her hopper stinks. I'm going to hell. But I'm going to take a bulletproof SEPTA to get there.
All right. Okay, Phil, let's roll this, please.
What's your message to Elon Musk with the flag out here?
Want to repeat history than get in the basket.
Okay. I know some people have been firebombing different Teslas. What do you think about those kind of protests against them?
I mean, the French do it.
Okay. I know people call him a Nazi. Do you think Musk's a Nazi?
He did the salute.
Yeah.
But you think
I know people have defended that. You think he's literally a Nazi?
The provocateur.
Yeah.
The provocateur. Don't call.
So, do you want to see people boycott Teslas moving forward? Absolutely. I know. Do you think it's a little bit ironic that climate activists are boycotting the most popular EV in America?
Look at these guys with scarves on, the guys with masks on.
Yeah.
Look at these.
I noticed, I'll blur out is what I think is your phone number.
Like, no shit.
No. Are you going to get protest?
No, that's my social security number.
No shape to that woman.
None.
She's just a...
Are you going to plan it? Okay, well, you
she's like a dough ball.
Most of the process I have been to, I haven't ever been, and it's usually permitted, and the cops are usually just here to protect us and vice versa. But it's just on the off chance, should everything go off, just there, just in case.
Can I see the number one more time?
Yeah.
And you, what is it again?
That's the legal hot aid for NYC.
She's missing a number, though. There's only nine.
Oh my God, these people are insane.
You probably sweated off the 10th digit.
These people are insane.
They are.
He did the salute.
He did the salute, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, Kamala.
Did he do the salute?
Kamala's done. It's amazing how you can take an arm gyration and freeze it in time and say, "Is that Hitler?"
But by the way, Sean Farish had the best response to that when we were discussing it. Where he's like, "If there's any sort of debate whether you're giving the Nazi salute, you're not giving the Nazi salute."
That's correct.
You know, like white supremacists, Nazis, Hitler, they weren't like. Did they do the salute? Did they not do the salute? No, you know they were doing the salute.
It's just amazing to me
ridiculous.
That, like, if you're to rank the most evil human beings to ever walk Earth, it's hard to argue if you put Hitler number one on your list. Like, I mean, I don't know how you argue against that. You could maybe advocate for another person.
Yeah.
But it's hard to top Hitler. And the cavalier nature in which we just throw around the word Hitler and Nazi is so staggering to me.
Yep.
The most just disgusting individual, like, you know, the devil reincarnated, the extermination. That was the goal, to exterminate Jews.
Yep.
6 million of them were killed. And we just call people Hitler like it's like you call somebody a butthead. I don't get it. I really don't.
We spent a lot of 6 o'clock hour talking about this, but the use of the Signal app by Pete Hegseth, Mike Walls, who else is on it? J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio.
I think that covers it.
some big names there. And then they included the journalist Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic, or the editor-in-chief, whatever the hell he is. I don't know.
The guy that employs Jemele Hill.
I don't read The Atlantic. I don't know anything really about The Atlantic. But he was included on this encrypted device for the Houthis bombing that happened a couple weeks ago. And let's kind of go through. So we'll get to Jeffrey Goldberg, because he made the rounds on all the shows last night. But let's start with Trump, actually, on Cut 30, because when a reporter asked him about it, he didn't know. And I know he doesn't like to be caught off guard with these things, so I'm wondering how that went down. But roll this.
Your reaction to the story in The Atlantic that said that some of your top cabinet officials and aides had been discussing very sensitive material through Signal and included an Atlantic report for that. What is your response to that?
I don't know anything about it. I'm not a big fan of The Atlantic. To me, it's a magazine that's going out of business. I think it's not much of a magazine, but I know nothing about it. You're saying that they had what?
They were using Signal to coordinate on sensitive materials and
having to do with what? Having to do with what? What were they talking about?
With the Houthis.
The Houthis? You mean the attack on the Houthis?
Right.
Well, it couldn't have been very effective because the attack was very effective. I can tell you that. I don't know anything about it. You're telling me about it for the first time. Anybody else?
So. That.
And then Pete Hegseth, I just want to kind of go through this, and then we can set up the Goldberg stuff. And then Pete Hegseth was asked about it yesterday afternoon. And do you have that, Phil? I know I'm playing the audio. If you have it there.
If you're just joining us, the title by Jeffrey Goldberg, here's the headline.
Yeah.
The Trump administration accidentally texted me its war plans.
Yep. Yeah, it's not a war plan, but
that's the... Just that's the
well. According to Jeffrey Goldberg, there were war plans in there.
That's what he claims. Yep.
Yes. All right, Phil. Roll this.
Looking forward to it. One question.
Can you share how your information about war plans against the Houthis in Yemen was shared with a journalist in The Atlantic, and were those details classified?
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again to include the hoaxes of Russia, or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is the guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does. I would love to comment on the Houthi campaign because of the skill and courage of our troops. I've monitored it very closely from the beginning. And you see, we've been managing 4 years of deferred maintenance under the Trump administration. Our troops, our sailors were getting shot at as targets. Our ships couldn't sail through. And when they did shoot back, it was purely defensively or at shacks in Yemen. President Trump said, no more. We will reestablish deterrence. We will open freedom of navigation. And we will ultimately decimate the Houthis, which is exactly what we're doing as we speak from the beginning, overwhelmingly.
Why do those details...
All right, so there's Pete. Do you have one more before we comment?
No.
Or okay,
no.
So I actually wanted to go back to the clip of Trump and give a little bit of a new wrinkle, another layer to this. So I said in the big take when I played that first clip from Trump that I thought he handled it really well. Let's ask the question: what do you think Trump says behind closed doors now? Do you think he calls together a huddle with everybody that was involved on that screenshot that was leaked from The Atlantic and tries to get to the bottom of it? Does he ream people out? How do you think he reacts and responds and potentially, you know, scolds, disciplines, whatever terminology you want to use, all the parties involved?
I would. So the one I have not seen comment that I would be curious about, too, J.D. Vance, as well as Marco Rubio.
Yep.
They were on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be, they have, this is all under investigation. So we'll, you know, this will be, it is, as we speak, it has to be investigated, as all these things do.
I thought it was interesting that Vance, very anti, well, I wouldn't say very anti, but kind of more cautious, which I think really is a little bit of Trump rubbing off on him. And I'm not surprised that Hegseth wanted to follow through. I mean, he's a former combat veteran, kind of in his DNA and in his blood to, you know, go to battle. And I would have attacked the Houthis. So I actually like Hegseth's mantra a little bit more than Vance from the standpoint of, if you're going to initiate and you're going to be the aggressor and you're going to attack this country, as Trump said with that great clip on social media that's made the rounds for the last couple of years with Van Halen under as the soundtrack. If you F around with us, if you F with us, we're going to do things to you that you never thought you'd see coming. And that's the kind of president I like.
By the way, for J.D. Vance on the in the conversation, it said that the user who was responding or speaking for the Veep was identified as Andy Baker for VP.
Oh, so
messaging for the vice president.
Interesting.
So that, by the way, just as you think about this investigation, J.D. Vance was not directly, whether they were physically texting or what I think happened was these people were speaking.
I think you're right.
And it was being, which is a third party app, which is also encrypted, but not the high clearance. But see, J.D. Vance is not going to be part of anything because he had a spokesperson.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
So do you think he's speaking him. And somebody's typing on his behalf?
Yeah, so it removes him from this because he has minions or, you know, whatever you want to
say. Well, it's kind of like Trump.
Neon.
Remember we played you the clip where Trump doesn't actually do the posting.
Yeah.
He verbally says what to post and then somebody posts on Truth and X Forum. Mm-hmm. What a job that must be.
So Jeffrey Goldberg was on both with Caitlin Collins, and Jen Psaki last night. Let's start here with cut 27, Phil. Roll it.
That.
I like when Caitlin talks like best Caitlin.
Safeway parking lot, watching my phone, realizing, oh my God, this might be real. I think Pete Hegseth just sent this group actual targeting information, actual sequencing of an attack, and I'm holding on to the phone. I don't want anybody to, and then I thought to myself, well, I mean, I guess they're lucky they didn't send this to a Houthi by mistake or to a foreign diplomat or to somebody who would plausibly be in one of their phones. I guess that counts as a kind of luck. That's why they're not supposed to use open source privately owned messaging services. They're supposed to keep all those conversations on what they call the high side. That's the classified side, where only government officials who are cleared to talk about this stuff get to talk about it. That's why they have that.
I mean, are the Houthis on the app?
No, but you don't know. I mean, they all have sources and they have moles and stuff like that in there that gives them locations and mm-hmm. stuff. So yeah, I mean, they can have sources. So
yeah.
he's not wrong when he says that it's just they're just lucky that they included this reporter or whatever you call him
mm-hmm.
Instead of somebody like who could have. I mean, think about those pilots who went over and bombed the Houthis. Like right. their lives could have been potentially at risk.
Could have, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Cut 28 on Hegseth saying that we weren't texting war plans. Jeffrey Goldberg said that is not correct, or it's a lie.
Saying that nobody was texting war plans, given you were privy to this group chat. Is that how you saw it?
No, that's a lie. He was texting war plans. He was texting attack plans. When targets were going to be targeted, how they were going to be targeted, who was at the targets, when the next sequence of attacks were happening. I didn't publish this, and I continue not to publish it because it felt like it was too confidential, too technical. And I worry, honestly, that sharing that kind of information in public could endanger American military personnel. But no, they were plans for the attack. Were texted before the attack.
See, if I'm Trump, this is where I sit there and I say, we need to maybe tighten up our methodology here for communication. I get it. We all have a lot going on. We're all over the place. But these are important missions to execute in response to aggressors. I'm still the guy that buys legal pads, okay? I still write things down. I still have a planner. I don't put things in my calendar on my iPhone. So as much as technology can be great, technology can also, do you in. Ask Harry Sisson about how his DMs are working out these days. Maybe you just gather around the conference table, you pour a couple of coffees, you get Trump a Diet Coke, you hit the red button, and we do this in person. That's the way I would handle it.
First of all, before you because obviously he's trying to, tout himself as, that's not. Reporters on the local, state, national, international level all the time are given confidential, are trusted and trusted with top secret or, very secret information that you would never report. I do this all the time where I have information about even local stories. I don't report it. So you're not some saint because what? You did not want to in any way report something that would harm the integrity of any kind of investigation or any kind of a situation. That happens all the time. There could be a reporter who in fact had a heads up about this. That is possible, believe it or not. And so I would just say this, what they have to look at, number one, how did this person or anyone get invited on this? Also, if you read the Atlantic article, what was interesting is that Goldberg in this says he was first invited days before and then stayed on it and not much activity until 2 hours before the launch of the actual attack.
Invited by who?
That's what I'm saying. It was he. If you read the article, what I infer from the author is he's saying, this happened and 2 hours before. But then it goes into the fact that he actually was on the chat days before. It began days before.
So that makes me wonder then who in this administration is inviting this guy prior to any of these military exercises being conducted? Why is a staff writer, editor-in-chief for The Atlantic involved in any of this?
Well, I think they thought somebody else was in there because I don't think you can see. Maybe you can't see the names. You just see.
No, just like our group chat.
The initials, yes.
But if you do, if you also within Signal, which is encrypted, then you can also, you can go in there and get a third party app that will give you the access on your phone that a lot of us have where you can speak into it, much like with your car or whatever, yeah. Hands free.
Right.
And so, by all accounts, the honest to God's truth is the national security advisor, Michael Waltz, is is getting ripped by the insiders, even though Pete Hegseth, because he's, as we've been talking about, the bigger fish, he's the one everybody's going after, saying he was an idiot to engage in this, you know what I mean, this high-profile conversation. But Michael Walls is the one that apparently invited in the Atlantic magazine editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg.
Well, and then you go back to what you're talking about days in advance, as far as what's being written in that column. Nobody caught that. Nobody noticed it, that, hey, there's somebody on here that, I mean, for God's sakes, when I'm on a group text and there's a number in there that doesn't make sense, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have this person as a contact in my phone. Who is this? That thought never popped up in anybody's head to say, maybe in a separate chat, hey, who's this 856 number? Where did this guy come from? Who is this? That how that doesn't, you know, pop up as a red flag is staggering to me.
And that remains under investigation.
Yeah.
By the way, the small group, so what's ours, like our little chat that we have, our group chat is like, we started 6 a.m. Theirs was entitled Houthi PC Small Group.
Boy, I wonder what that means.
Oh, my God. That's... Boy, no...
You know, no matter what side you're on, left or right, it's pretty obvious that the federal government is incompetent.
That's the best.
And we vote and we give our tax dollars to stupid people.
That's the best piece of information that I've heard all day.
Houthi PC song.
Right.
Bomb the F out of this area.
Right. I mean, Lindsey Graham sees that and he gets moist.
Yeah, it's true. One more with Goldberg. Cut 29, Phil.
The unreality of it, I think, is something that's very hard to capture. I have a hard time explaining the unreality of it because, as you note, you've been on one side of that divide. I've been on the other. You know, the national security world is a pretty serious world, and especially at the level below the principals, there are people who take their responsibilities extremely seriously and take security and safety in cybersecurity and digital security very, very seriously. And there are people, we both know of people who've gone to prison for mishandling sensitive information. Yeah. And so, you know, one of my problems, and I've been, you know, asked this question a few times today, it's why did you have such a hard time believing this?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is because it's unbelievable. I mean, I've never experienced this through...
Amazing. I just got done doing a big take yesterday about how the mainstream media is toast. And this guy's handed the greatest gift of all time.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's absolutely true. You know, we started off at 6 a.m. talking about, you know, the steel plants coming back to the United States.
Right. And that's probably the lead story, if not for this, right?
The investment in this country
from
Hyundai and other, you know, car manufacturers, and everybody's fixated on this, as well they should be. I'm not saying they shouldn't be.
Yep.
Because this is a big story. And history, like, I heard all kinds of, like, CIA people and every, you know, former military people have been like, not only would we have been fired, we would have been in jail if we would have done something like this. So, like, it's a serious thing. And everybody's like, ooh, it's just you put somebody on a text that you didn't mean to. Like, this is national security. It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
And so here's what I'll say about this, that this is an administration. What do they talk about? Things like transparency, integrity, and as well looking at the military community and respecting the safety of our military. And so in this one, I'm seeing that there are reports that senior administration officials within the Trump administration are saying that they are involved in a number of conversations about Mike Waltz's future at the White House. And so what that tells me is we haven't seen a lot of leaks, you know, real leaks.
Yeah, it's true.
So this is Trump saying, I didn't ever like that guy's shoes anyway. No, I just started thinking of the conversation. I just think that there are people who are irked by this and saying everything's been going along swimmingly and this was a misstep. And so I think that there's another report of two different high levels. So I had one that was senior administration, and then there are several high level White House aides floating the idea Waltz should resign to protect President Trump from being in a, quote, bad position. Here's what we know about President Trump. He often has his team float things, and like take the pulse of the people.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on.
Well, yeah,
right,
that's
now
what Bannon talks about all the time, mm-hmm, flooding the zone and doing it intentionally. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. Spring into savings at Bucks County Estate Traders during their Buy More, Save More event. 15% off every item, and when you buy three or more, you get 25% off one item. Conditions apply. Visit Bucks County Estate Traders in store or online at shopbcet.com. 855-839-1210. Bill's in Monco. He's up next. He's got some thoughts on this. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how are you this morning?
We're well, Bill.
Good. I'm going to agree with Greg Stocker.
Yeah.
How's that for...
thank you.
There you go. Greg, you can't underestimate the seriousness of this or underplay it. And I, in a previous life, I've had a top secret clearance with an FBI. And this is a travesty. There's no glossing over it. There's no just choking it up to oops, nothing like that. The group chat had this military system called CipherNet. It's a classified email system that could have accomplished the same thing that was being done on Signal. And I don't know why at that level they weren't using CipherNet. That's what got Hillary Clinton in trouble, because she would get emails off of CipherNet and put them on the flash drive and then have to put on her server. So we're doing essentially it's not to the same extent as Hillary. This is like a one-off, whatever you want to call it, but it's still egregious.
So, Bill, I'm assuming you're a guy that was in the military. So
36 years.
What's wrong with doing it the way I suggest, the old-fashioned way of everybody gathering around in a conference room at the table? We see all these other meetings where everybody's gathered around the table. Why not do that? I mean, short of that room being bugged, nobody's ever going to know what was said in that room.
I think what was going on there, and Dawn hit the nail on the head, that the invite that went to the reporter was days ahead of time. I just think they got lazy. They set that up probably to plan this mission, this operation. And it wasn't like one meeting to decide what we're going to do and come up with a plan, and that would be that. I think it was a few-day process, and they just got sloppy. They really did.
Yeah.
And there's no excuse for it, and I'm going to make a very not-so-bold prediction. Mike Waltz is going to resign, the National Security Advisor, before this is over, and he rightly should. It's not just somebody's got to, take the fall, take the dive for it. Mike Waltz was the one that was really responsible for the operational security, and he failed.
Well, I think he should be fired, but I'll disagree with you, Bill, on the resignation. I do not think he will resign, and I don't think Trump is going to force him to resign, because Trump, to his credit, doesn't bend the knee to the mainstream media. So the mainstream media could talk about this until Friday, and I don't think that's going to force Trump's hand. I don't think
it's
Trump's...
It's not the mainstream media. I think that his own people are sitting here saying, this is a big deal. This is a serious thing. Somebody needs to roll for this. And I think that his inner circle is telling him that. And I don't think he gives a damn as well as he should.
But don't you think
about the mainstream media
that if his inner circle suggests this, it gives more credence to the words of what has been the talking point that the media and the Democrats have used in lockstep? Chaos, chaos, chaos. It's chaos back there. It's chaos behind the scenes. If you do, that's your way of giving them the credit of, yeah, it is chaos.
It's accountability. Yeah. And if you're an administration that sticks by your words, and you talk about meritocracy, you talk about accountability, you talk about transparency, then you have to follow through on this.
Well, I mean, meritocracy and mistakes are two different things. We can sit there and say Mike Waltz made a mistake and still say merit-wise he was the best guy for the job.
Yeah, but we can't sit here as a radio show and complain about...
See, now I'm defending Mike Waltz.
We can't sit here as a radio show and talk about DEI hires and big F-ups that they made, and should they really be in that job, and then say, well, this one was just kind of a mistake. Like this was a big mistake.
Yes, I agree.
The same that if it would have happened at an airline, we would have said that person needs to be fired.
I agree. I am not defending Mike Waltz. If I was Donald Trump, I would fire him myself. All right, 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. Spring into savings at Bucks County Estate Traders. But now let me tell you, as we head to a break, about our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And I've got a new vehicle to talk to you about. Maybe you're in the market for something right in that sweet spot. It's not Mercedes price-wise. It's not Land Rover, but you want something maybe a little nicer than perhaps Hyundai or Honda. Acura is kind of right on that, you know, luxury line, that fringe spot. As an Acura owner for 11 years, I can tell you Acura is a great car. And I want to introduce to you the all-new 2025 ADX. It is Piazza Acura's latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. This premium compact SUV is a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation with a turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system technology, and cutting-edge technology. The Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more. And best of all, it's now available at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and my dealership location out in Westchester, with leases as low as $389 per month. Think about that, under $4 a month for a beautiful Acura SUV, available today. You can check them out online at piazzaacura.com.
Got to talk about my guys. It was so great to see Jonathan Cans in person here on Friday for an incredible event as we honored, of course, veterans, our military veterans and our Gold Star families. You know, when we think about keeping your home warm, efficient, safe, no matter the season. And so as we come into spring right now, this is paramount. That's why, you know, I recently had Marvin E. Cans, my guys from Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning, out to get us ready for spring. Marvin E. Cans, third generation owned, military veteran founded company. Take my advice, just call them. Marvin E. Cans, get your furnace checked out for spring. If they believe that your entire unit needs to be replaced, they're going to give you that honest assessment at a fair price and install a high-efficiency Trane furnace, T-R-A-N-E. It's hard to stop a Trane, as they say. Just contact my guys, Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning, Marvin E. K-A-N-Z-E.com, MarvinEcans.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The movie flopped. You actually lost more severely than I did, right?
The winged victory came to the Louvre in pieces, and people still line up to see her.
This riddle is interesting.
And I can only hope that despite my flaws, and despite my cracks and my breaks, and there are many of them.
Oh, jeez.
Are you crying or laughing? What's happening to your face?
That at every premiere and everything I do, people will wait in line to see.
No, I won't.
You know, I know you're upset. I know you're upset, but why are your eyes so far apart? Have you been dabbling in can't get my eyes off this thing that you have over there. Look, Rachel, I'm going to be honest, right? I'm going to be honest, and I got to tell you, you know, it takes a lot to f*** up Snow White. You f***ed up. You f***ed up. You know, I f***ed up in reality, but you f***ed up a fantasy. Yeah, that's worse.
It's true. It's
good. See, here's the thing. Your head is just, I mean, it's big. It's not proportional. No, even to your neck, I mean.
Amazing.
She's her. Amazing. By the way, some of the polls show that Kamala Harris has over a 20-point lead. And I know it's 2025, and a bazillion things can happen between now and 3 years. She's got a 20-point lead as the Democrat nominee for 2028. I've got this story of Joe Biden wanting to get back into politics. I mean, are the Democrats possibly going to try to, quote, run it back with some combination of Kamala Harris? Now, it won't be Joe. I get that. But is Kamala Harris really going to resurface as the option?
It's 2025.
I know.
We're not predicting 2028.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I also saw a poll over the weekend that showed California voters were polled and are openly considering voting Republican for the first time in their lives for the governor's race. And I think that's the Kamala effect. They know that she's so bad, and they would know probably as well as anybody, having seen her at the local level before she became the Veep, where you might actually be able to argue, is there a better chance? And I know everybody in New Jersey thinks that it's a foregone conclusion that New Jersey will flip red. Wall Street Journal actually has an article about Scott Pressler out yesterday talking about how Pressler's goal is to flip Jersey from blue to red.
Our friend Trucker Ed dropped out.
Yes, he dropped out.
Ed Durr, and he's endorsing.
Yeah. Spadia, correct?
He's not endorsing Jack Cittarelli. He's endorsing the radio talk show host, yeah, Bill Spadia.
Okay.
Is he still on the air, Bill Spadia?
No, he's not.
Yeah. Which also, I was receiving texts. I won't out people by name because I like these people, but I don't need to be texted on a Saturday morning at 7:45 about endorsements for the New Jersey governorship because I was sleeping. But that's my fault. I should never have given out my number like an idiot.
Did Matt Rooney break that story? Our own Matt Rooney.
I think Matt did. Yes. Yeah, we're gonna bring Matt on starting in April. He's gonna become a contributor to Kale and Company because the New Jersey race is a big one.
It's so, one of only two for this year.
Yeah,
New Jersey and Virginia have the two gubernatorial races for this calendar year.
He'll probably get Tuesdays because Tuesdays is open. It's just the low energy.
Yeah,
three of us:
Murphy and Glenn Youngkin.
Are we paying all these people?
Termed out.
It's June 10th is the primary. By the way.
Yep. So we'll see how those play out. So, I mean, can you argue? Now, again, I'm looking at one poll. And if I'm being honest, I guess New Jersey probably a better chance. But can you make the case that California could go red before New Jersey? Can anybody see that happening?
No, California.
If Kamala's the Democrat nominee for governor, could you see California? I mean, California did have, and I know he was basically a moderate or even a centrist. Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor, 24 years ago?
Yeah, no, it's not going to... No.
Okay.
There's not going to be... Meaning, could you see a governor in California that's Republican before New Jersey? No, I think you see New Jersey first.
Okay. I was just wondering. 855-839-1210. And Kamala, a.k.a. Esty, is right. There is a very wide gap between Rachel Zegler's eyes. Have you noticed that? There's a lot of real estate from the left eye to the right eye.
Yep.
And she does have a big head, too. How old is she? 23. Yeah. And she's local. Hackensack, New Jersey. There you go. Local story, technically. 855-839-1210. Let's come back. We'll get to the remainder of the cut sheet. Also, music history with Phil Almquist. Movies from Jimmy Kelly. What's on tap for The Dawn Show. And a whole lot more. Final hour on the way. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.